opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Let's talk about telephone pole concert art for a second. I was down by the Lair Hill Deli the other day, getting me some of that grub the kids love so much, and I'm walking by, and they were cleaning off. And you know, the telephone poles, they get those concert flyers like 5 inches deep, and they were doing one of their twice-yearly strip-down operations, or taking all the old things off there. And they had uncovered, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but they had uncovered, you know, several layers down to where, you know, then they'd given up for the night. And the layer that they had stopped at, the very top flyer, was for this Public Enemy show that I actually saw at the Roseland a few years back. And I was so tempted to come back with, like, a chisel and, like, take out the staples and take it home and have it framed or something. Because it would have looked really cool because it was all kind of beat up. It was kind of torn up and water-soaked, and it would have looked kind of cool to actually sort of frame it like that and have it saved. I never ended up doing it.
Well, in Hawthorne, they're starting to put those that metal around the pole so that you can't stick
Which
things
sucks.
On the pole anymore.
That's a legitimate form of grassroots marketing for bands, is to put up flyers. And I expect better from Portland. Is that Vera Katz who's doing that? Is that Vera Katz's decision that we're...
I don't have any idea.
Pisses me off.
We can find out for you.
Yeah, it bugs me. You know, it's one thing if you're putting up some of those stupid lose 30 pounds in 30 days things, or, you know, make $5 million stuffing envelopes in it. You know, that's one thing. But if you're some band trying to get the word out and you put up... And plus, that's an actual... I consider that sort of a part of American culture, putting up concert and show flyers on telephone poles. If for no other reason than I think it's cool, it's like counting the rings on a tree when you peel those off and then you find out what's, you know, what's underneath it. It just pisses me off. All right. Hey, there's this great store in Hawthorne, though, where this guy archives those and sells them. You can buy them. Anyway. Hey, Rick, that Russian murderer is a fool. If you kill somebody, you need to season him heavily with garlic, onions, thyme, rosemary, and marjoram.
Yeah. Half that stuff is not available in Russia.
Dirt.
There are plenty of Bailey's salesmen on the street, though.
By the side of the road.
You smuggle all the spices and then you roast them with potatoes.
Well, then he says black pepper and celery salt to taste. Cook until tender. But I wouldn't know anything about that. Signed, David from Happy Rock that wouldn't know anything about that.
It reeks of cannibalism.
Yeah. Okay. Rick, my friend, once again, you are correct and Matt is wrong. The game was actually called, yes, 720. And it was part of the game that said skate or die, and you had to get away from a swarm of some sort within a time period. Tell Matt to keep his pie hole shut when the host is talking. Keep up the listener participation. Assisted great work. F Matt with the arcade game. Dig Dug.
This F Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Dig Dug was a great game.
One more time. You know what I'm talking about.
Can you do the sound effects from Joust, too?
No, I have nothing. Joust was great, though. Thy game is over.
Have you ever been to Ground Control?
Yeah, but it's gone now. Well, there's two of them. Which one are you talking about?
The one right over here downtown, up on about 12.
There was one on Hawthorne, but it's gone. That Zion Music place. Just a bunch of freaky dreadheads in there now. The one on Hawthorne is gone. But yeah, the one downtown is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And they had Zaxxon too, man. Zaxxon. That's what it was all about when I was growing up.
It's all about Joust and Q-Bert.
Q-Bert. Yeah, and then it had that weird profanity whenever he would... I was never any good at that game, though. Q-Bert was the best of all the Pac-Man knockoffs, because it really is sort of a Pac-Man knockoff. It was the best of all of those. You know what I played the other day? I played Miss Pac-Man the other day and just got schooled. Just got my ass beaten by my girlfriend, no less. Just totally kicked my ass at Miss Pac-Man. How embarrassing is that? Answer? So goddamn embarrassing. Rick, I just saw an ad on the History Channel for Puppetry of the Penis at the Aladdin. I'm still confused on the whole thing. Are these guys pulling on their manhood and making it into balloon animals? I thought it would kind of hurt, wouldn't it? Of course, they have to be British. What else is there to do on an island? Lisa. Hey, did you ever get the tickets?
I've called them a couple of times to arrange going over to pick them up, and I haven't ever been able to get a hold of anybody.
Yeah, because we have tickets to give away. They're doing like 4 days or something at the Aladdin. We have tickets we're going to be giving away, but we haven't gotten them yet.
So I'll try them again today and see if I can get a hold of somebody over there.
All right, we're talking about Joe Millionaire here in a second. We're also going to get Tim in Portland in just one moment. This is Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 107 T-Rally with news brought to you by AT&T Broadband Internet. The high-speed way to surf, shop, download, and email. 25 times faster than 56K dial-up service. Why don't you speed up your internet with AT&T Broadband? Unbelievable! There was a high-speed chase in Beaverton involving a pickup truck and pepperball rounds and a taser gun. Glenn Robartis was treated by medics at the scene after being, well, fired on by all this stuff. Apparently the cops told him to get out of the truck. He wouldn't, so they fired bean bags, which kind of hurt, I guess, and then pepper balls, whatever they are. And when they didn't work, they used a taser gun, which that blind man used on his wife, allegedly.
Pepper ball sounds like some sort of an ailment that you would need like a liniment rub for.
I don't know. They probably would have fired bay leaves if he didn't come in after that. Anyway, they finally dragged him out after that. So they don't know how the traffic thing started, but they fired all that stuff. Despite repair attempts, an 8,000-square-foot artificial lake in Portland's classical Chinese garden is losing 37,000 gallons of water each day. Last year, the garden racked up a $29,000 water bill for just one pond. This thing was opened back in the year 2000. They brought in some ancient Chinese craftsmen to set it up. The garden attracts 185,000 visitors every year. Imagine that. And, well, it's leaking like a sieve. Does anyone know how to fix a Chinese swimming pool? Apparently not. Why not screw the tourists? Oregon's tourism industry is launching an ambitious plan to persuade legislators to create a 1% tax on all lodging in Oregon. The money would be used for an international advertising campaign to promote more people to come here and be taxed. So we'll see what happens.
And then
to
get out!
Yeah. We'll fire pepper balls.
Wasn't that McCall's thing?
Yeah.
Come to Oregon, spend your money, then leave.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Well, let's talk about InStyle magazine, known for its unprecedented actress to celebrities, taking an intimate look at the year's most exciting nuptials and the love stories that inspired them. We have pop singer Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey of 98 Degrees. Jessica, give us some advice for future brides.
I was, like, the calmest bride. Like, I just knew
everything. Oh, wait, Jessica Simpson, she's the virgin.
Yeah,
or was the virgin.
Yeah, she was.
Do we believe that?
You know, the love and
I actually kind of do with her.
Oh, is this going to go wrong?
Brittany, not so much.
There's always going to be stuff that goes wrong, but it's the best day of your life. You want to enjoy every moment of it. So I think that just relaxing is probably the best thing a bride could do.
Yeah, you know, I blew that guy's name too. I thought it was Leahy or something.
You still have not given me away that you got Leahy out of L A C H E Y.
I hadn't had any coffee.
What is it?
Lachey?
It's Lachey.
Yeah, he's from 98 Degrees, right?
Yeah.
I can be forgiven for not, you know.
Well, Nick Lachey, tell us if you have any second thoughts about having the.
Just a minute, the pages stuck together. What?
The page was thick. Do you have any second thoughts of having the magazine and TV cameras at your wedding?
Absolutely not. They they were so respectful of us and our privacy and of, you know, not wanting to intrude and be intrusive on, you know, a very personal day. And so, you know, I have nothing
to say. A very personal day to which we invited all the major news networks and, like, tabloids.
They were great.
Brings a tear to my eye.
And, you know, we have some great footage. To edit
who would really care to watch them get married?
You know, wedding video.
Idiots.
Nobody cares. Jessica, why did you want to save your virginity for your wedding night?
It wasn't about my religion or anything like that. It was just about me wanting to share that with one guy. You know, like, I never wanted to come across where I was judging anybody else. I'm just a hopeless romantic.
Except for whores and sluts.
I dream of my Prince Charming, and I knew that, you know,
I dreamed of fumbling around aimlessly on my wedding night and not having any experiencing and giving him the most unsatisfying sex of his life.
There'll be divorce within the year.
Well, because he wasn't a virgin. He's already copped to the fact that he wasn't a virgin. So I... Yeah, okay. I dreamed of having no idea what to do on my wedding night and having and experiencing unconscionable pain and awkwardness the first time I had sex.
They probably had some fondling here and there.
And fondling, you know... Look, it's not the ball game. It's like it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? I don't know. Just, training wheels. You know, training wheels are still training wheels. I don't care what you want to label it as. In my day, they called that heavy petting. Is what they called that. But
can I
what? I'm sorry. Does petting prompt something?
No, I wanted to know if I could say. Never mind.
Yeah, if you have to ask, probably not.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, am I back here? Cloudy today, an occasional light rain, highs in the mid to upper 40s, more showers tonight, then occasional rain after midnight, then occasional rain and rain sometimes after that. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com.
Okay, someday, one of these days I got to bring in that book that I saw at the Christian bookstore, The Great Sex for Christian Couples book. It's just sad. It's just the most depressing thing you've ever read. Because it's all these thinly veiled questions about how my husband lasts 14 seconds. What does Jesus say about this? Let's get Tim in Portland. You're on Hot Talk tonight at KOTK.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
What's
this
up?
This is how you deal with the pregnant phone pole issue of the flyer art.
Okay.
Which is a real good art form. I work for a graphic art company. This is what we do each week. If we didn't do this, if we put more than two on each pole, the cops citation us. So what we do is we take down flyers that have been over for a week or not, or so, put up ours. And do a recycling type thing.
Oh, so it's like a public service. So you're taking down the old ones and putting up yours.
Exactly.
And the city is cool with that?
No, they're not hip to it.
Weasels. See, they're idiots. I don't want to overstate it, but I mean, not only is it part of American culture, I think it's kind of, you know, it's an art form.
Every year there's an art show that you probably were mentioning about earlier, where they have actually an exhibit each year in Portland that shows flyers from 1960 on.
Yeah, and not only that, but I mean, the type of art. You look at telephone poles, and the show flyers are always, I don't know how to describe it, but you know, there is a look. Yeah, there is a specific look that most show flyers on poles have, and it's retarded that the city doesn't recognize that.
Exactly. Thank you, Rick.
There you go. There's Tim in Portland. All right, 1-800-727-5955. All right. We got this. This is from Dave. These are for more. Man, the more I think about it, the more that I think the government should turn to us for naming the operation against Iraq. How about this one? Check this out. For the war on Iraq, Operation... This is Marvin Gaye. Operation Let's Get It On. Now, come on. That's great. That works on a whole lot of levels. Operation Let's Get It On. That functions on like seven levels simultaneously. You know what I'm saying. All right. All right, we got an email up team.
Okay, wait, hold on. Now, you got me confused. What are we doing here? Are we doing song titles? Are we doing 70s bands? Or are we doing video games?
I don't know. Well, I think we're trying to figure out which genre gives us the most. You know what I mean? We're trying to figure out where the best names come from. Operation Let's Get It On is pretty cool. I got this email. Check this out. I got this email. This is all operation names that come to us from 70s rock bands. Check this out. I think 70s rock bands are where we get the best operation names from. And these are all 70s bands here. These all function perfectly well as code names for the war against Iraq. We've got Operation Badfinger. Come on, how great is that? Operation Foreigner. Come on, Operation Foreigner. Wah, wah.
That sounds like an immigration policy.
Operation Earth, Wind, and Fire. Now, see, you can't bust that one. Operation America. Operation War, and then this is the best one here. This is from Randall. Operation Guess Who. Come on, that's funny. You're not laughing. There's something wrong with you. That's funny stuff right there. All right. Oh, we got to talk about Joe Millionaire in just a second. Let's first welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend and compatriot. Kill for time, kill for time, kill for time. Stretch, stretch, stretch. All right, there we go. It's the lovely Kristen from accounting. What's up?
Hey, how about Operation Seals and Crofts?
Operation Seal. Yeah. How about Operation Bread?
Well, who was the band that did Afternoon Delight? I was trying
Starland
to think.
Starland Vocal Band.
Yeah, there you go. Operation Starland Vocal Band.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
All
whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Well, actually, you know, with all due respect for women who model lingerie, kind of one of the beautiful things I like about listening to your show is that I kind of feel semi-normal after listening to you all. So to listen to, like, you and Tim do the news is kind of like...
it raises the bar for what it takes to be a freak.
Yeah, you know, if I wanted to just, you know, hear, like, dumbasses talk about the news, I'd watch network news. You know what I'm saying?
What are you trying to say?
Nothing.
Where are we going with this?
No, just, you know...
No place good.
It's a compliment.
It's a compliment.
Where? Where was the compliment? Did I take a left turn and miss it?
You and Tim, well, because, you know, young Kristen, I'm sure with good intentions, is talking about, you know, getting more people in on the news.
More listener, less Rick, yeah.
Well, no, see, I'm all for the Rick.
Yes.
You know, because if I wanted to listen to listeners, I would, you know, take my headphones off during lunch and actually listen to the people around me.
I was going to say, you just talk to the guy in the next cubicle.
Exactly. Yeah. But who needs that?
Yes, that's
you
what
know,
I'm saying.
You know, Tim has that unique... ever-present news presence, and it's, you know, unique.
All right.
What can I say?
Okay.
Okay, so that flopped.
Well, thanks for the compliment.
You know, yeah, you're welcome, Tim. Because obviously Rick is, you know.
No, I appreciate it. I just couldn't tell where you were. It was all very hazy for a minute there.
You know, you need another cup of coffee.
Oh, that's mean. There's
well,
no need
you
to
do.
Be mean. All right.
I'm
we are the spirit
the
of the Northwest.
Rick. All right. I can always count on you to be up front with me.
That's right.
All right.
Well, I'm the only one.
All right. There's Kristen for accounting. All right, more on the way. We're going to talk about Joe Millionaire, top five most influential songs of all time coming up, according to Q Magazine. And more. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I just couldn't tell. At first it was lingerie, and then it was something about...
No, she was saying that she could choose to watch the network, but instead she listens to you guys.
Oh, see, because all I heard was dumbasses doing the news. And I'm like, hey, I'm one of those dumbasses.
See, maybe you should listen to your callers.
Well, clearly I don't have enough stimulants in my body right now. I'm going to go load up.
Just go get a cup of coffee.
All right, here's Sarah with the traffic.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 1:23. Tim Bradley with news brought to you by State Farm Insurance. I'll keep your nest egg from breaking. Call a local State Farm Mutual Automotive Insurance Company agent today for costs and complete details about long-term care insurance. In the news this afternoon, Pat Buchanan's getting all hot and bothered about people running for the border again.
What is going on is the economic and political elites of the United States and Mexico are aiding and abetting what is an illegal invasion of America. There are 10 million illegals in this country right now, folks, who do not belong here. They are a threat to our security, to our cohesion, to our national identity. This problem has got to be gotten under control, or we're going to lose the old America we have known. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave. It is not a flop house.
Meanwhile, Emma Caulfield, who is perhaps best known for her role as Enya Emerson in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, deals with creepy ghosts instead of vampires in a new film entitled Darkness Falls. She plays Caitlin, the sister of a young boy who is plagued by an entity that attacks in the dark.
This is Emma Caulfield who plays
Enya Emerson.
Anya, the former Vengeance Demon on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, here she is.
Caitlin is very strong-willed, I think, compassionate. You get the sense that life could have been a lot different for her by the time you meet her. So there's probably like an inherent melancholy to her. Just sort of, you know, you want to put your arms around her and give her a big hug.
Gotcha. Tell us about the bond between your brother Michael and your old friend Kyle.
They have both seen this creature, aberration, this thing. They've both witnessed it. So immediately there's a bond, a connection, that when Kyle shows up to help Michael, that he immediately identifies with him so that Michael knows that he's not, you know, full of it, like, you know, one of the many other doctors or people who are going to come in and say, oh, yeah, we can help you. So that rapport is immediately established.
You know, the thing is, with the departure of Eliza Dushku, who played Faith for the longest time, Emma Caulfield is hands down the most attractive woman on Buffy the Vampire Slayer right now. She's more attractive than Sarah Michelle Gellar. She's better looking than Allison Hannigan. She's the best looking woman on that show.
You're a fool.
As opposed to who?
Well, Sarah Michelle Gellar, obviously.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, man, she's gotten so scrawny, though. She's on the cover of InStyle magazine. Sarah's got it sitting over there, I think. It's the InStyle magazine. Sarah Michelle Gellar's on the front. I was watching one of the season... Begin Geek segment. I was watching some of the season 2 Buffy the other day. It was the episode Passion, where the evil Angelus kills the teacher Jenny Callender. And, you know, Sarah Michelle Gellar looked so much better when she was in her early 20s because she had a little bit of a figure. She had some definition to her. She wasn't fat by any means, but, I mean, she looked good. You look at Sarah Michelle Gellar now, she's just so freaking thin, man, and her hair's all limp. And I swear to God, she's starting to look like Calista Flockhart. It's just, it's bad. There's just nothing attractive about her. And Allison Hannigan is okay, but again, she's just less cute than she used to be. Although, you know that Allison Hannigan's getting married to Alexis Denisoff, that guy that plays Wesley on Angel? Yeah, they're getting married, so they're engaged now. Or they're either engaged or they're married. One of the two.
Allison Hannigan is?
Allison Hannigan and Alexis Denisoff, who played Wesley on Buffy and then now on the spinoff Angel. They're
right.
Either engaged or married.
You know, he actually was dating Charisma Carpenter for a while, too.
Really?
When he was on Buffy.
That guy's a Mac.
He was actually dating...
what Alexis the prick. Anyway, so it's all about the Emma Caulfield love.
Well, anyway, there's going to be light rain this afternoon, lows in the mid to upper 40s. Showers tonight, occasional rain tomorrow, and maybe some more rain after that. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com, made possible by Budget Computers, home of the $200 laptop.
Rick, what about war nicknames from Kiss albums? Operation Destroyer, Operation Love Gun, Operation Dress to Kill, Operation Dynasty, Operation Revenge. Even Kiss songs work well, Rick. Operation Hooligan. Operation God of Thunder. Operation God of Thunder is cool. I'm with that. Let's see, and this is from David. Rick, what about Operation Tower of Power? Or Operation Big Brother and the Holding Company? That was Janis Joplin's group. Big Brother and the Holding Company. I'm with that. Oh, yeah. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Also coming up later on, we got Hot Talk 1080 girl Dean, who's going to be here. Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. Later on, we'll play Radio Gangsta again by Portland artist The Low. Here's your top five for Tuesday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting is the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
Here's Tim Riley with today's top five.
And in case you were wondering, these are the top five most influential songs of all time, as compiled by British music magazine Q.
Let me talk to you about Q magazine for a second. If you don't read Q magazine, you're missing out. It's right there with Mojo and NME. You know, until Blender came along, all the best music magazines came out of Britain. The only problem is they're like $9 on the cover because they either you got to subscribe via airmail, or you got to go buy them at like the Pedersen's or Peterson's, whatever that magazine place is, and all those places are going out of business anyway. So it's so hard to find a British music magazine. I guess you can get them at Powell's, I guess, but they're way too expensive. I advise you to read online and also to read Blender if you're not already doing it. So these are the top five most influential singles in history as compiled by British music magazine Q.
Honorable mention goes to Billie Holiday and Strange Fruit.
I don't even know what this song is.
She has a sultry voice.
Strange fruit hanging.
I've never heard this song. I don't know what it is. The only thing I know about Billie Holiday, I know the song All Alone. That's the only Billie Holiday song I know, and that's only because Joe Satriani did a cover of it. Yeah, I'm a dork.
What a reason to know Billie Holiday.
I know, I'm retarded. I have nothing against Billie Holiday. She's a torch singer, right?
Right.
What does that mean? It's like being a diva. It's just being a torch singer, like being a... Is that the old version of diva?
I would think so, yes. Too much cigarettes, too much booze.
Yeah, I like the crackle, though. You can hear that vinyl crackle in the background. Man, I know it makes me old, but... Man, I'm all about that. I'm all about that vinyl crackle.
A burning flesh.
All right.
Number five, Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
You know, as sick as I got to hear in this song for a long time, I mean, this really is one of the all-time great rock singles. It really is. There's just no question about it. Hands down, one of the best rock singles ever. I mean, you know, by any yardstick, this really is up there with God Save the Queen. It's up there with Anarchy in the UK. It doesn't matter. And I think, like everybody else, I remember exactly where I was the first time I ever saw this. First time I ever saw this video. I was home on a Christmas break for my first semester at college before I wised up and dropped out. I was exact. You know, really, when you think about it, it's kind of surprising that I don't like Nirvana more. Because I really am exactly the right age to have loved Nirvana. Because Nirvana came out right when I was entering college. I mean, it's, you know, college rock, it's alternative rock. Came out right as I was entering college for the first time. You'd think I would have liked it. Nirvana, like all the punk bands, though, they were kind of a singles band. You know, Sex Pistols were the same way. The Sex Pistols were, I mean, as much as I love them, were largely a singles band. Got a great song, though. One of the all-time great rock screams from this guy.
Number four, the Sugar Hill Gang and Rappers Delight.
Hey, is this the remix? Is this the Method Man version?
Hit me to the hip, hip, hoppy, you don't stop the rockin' to the bang, bang, but you say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Now what you hear is not...
No, this is the Sugar Hill Gang version.
Yeah, I think this is the original.
And me, the groove...
Can I tell you this? I know that Rapper's Delight is, you know, it's this groundbreaking, influential song. You know, I've listened to this song all the way through like four times in my life. Because it's like 7 minutes long. It just goes on and on till the break of dawn. It goes... you know that it's true.
You've heard my voice, but I brought two friends along. And next on the mic is my man Hank. Come on and sing that song. Check it out. I'm the C-A-S-N, the O-V-A, and the rest is F-L-Y. You see, I go...
We're so sad about the Sugar Hill Studios burning down a few weeks ago. That was a big downer. See, I wouldn't have put this on here necessarily. Because there's the message. There's Rapture, you know, that Blondie song with Fab Five Freddy, and when she mentions Fab Five Freddy, and it's got that Grandmaster Flash on it. I mean, I guess you can't take anything away from the Sugar Hill Gang, but
you can't take anything away from Rocket.
God, it's just such a bad song, though. And Rocket, because the scratching with Grand Mixer DXT. Yeah, baby. Scratch. Did you watch the documentary Scratch?
Damn fine documentary.
Hand that off to Ian now.
Yeah.
If you all haven't seen the movie Scratch, it's Doug Prey's documentary about the rise of the DJ. Great movie. Yeah, this song just goes on and on forever, though.
Number three,
in
the Sex Pistols and God Save the Queen.
There you go. It's that roll of the R, baby. Can I tell you, I could listen to this every hour, every day for the rest of my life, and I would never get tired of it. If you haven't seen it, you should go out and see The Filth and the Fury, which is a documentary of the rise and destruction of the Sex Pistols. I was born at the wrong time, and I know that makes me sound like, I don't know, one of those guys at a Renaissance fair, but I really feel like I was born in the wrong era, because as great as this sounds now, and it does, I mean, as unbelievable, as phenomenal as this song still sounds, I mean, when I was like four or something when this came out, I mean, I can't even imagine what it would like to have been 18 and living in Britain when this song came out. I can't even fathom how great the song would have sounded if you had been English and a teenager. Especially at that time where, you know, it was progressive rock everywhere, and then suddenly this comes out. Man, you talk about... This is the very epitome of a band that was more than the sum of its parts. This band, man, this is where like one and one and one and one equaled like 12.
Number two, the Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Here's something I never put together until this morning, which is the direct line from I Wanna Hold Your Hand to those punk songs that are I Wanna.
Tell you something.
I Wanna Be Sedated. I Wanna Be Your Boyfriend. I never made that connection until this morning. I Wanna.
I Wanna Hold Your Hand.
Come on, that's so
great. So basically
great.
Just for the Ramones?
No, I mean, it's a great song anyway, but I never saw the line of dissension there.
Say to me,
let me be your man.
Such a great song.
And please say to me,
about the Beatles is that even when they were doing these sticky sweet pop songs, they couldn't hide the fact that they were rockers. Like, there's this pretty little bridge here, but on the chorus when they go, the, I wanna hold your head, even when they're doing pop songs, it sounds so rock. Listen to the hand clapping.
I think you'll understand.
All of the power pop of today is directly descended from this. Now, what a great song.
I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand.
Number one, Elvis. And that's all right. I don't know why.
Well, I can get with that, eh?
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right.
You know, whatever you say about Elvis, you can't take away his impact. I mean, whatever I think about Elvis's music and Elvis's, you know, talent, you can't take anything away from what he did and what he accomplished. It's funny because we were talking about yesterday the top five whitest artists of all time. We were doing that for MLK Day yesterday. And we were talking about the fact that there used to be race records, they called them. It's before they called it R&B, they called them race songs and race charts. And basically it was music they wanted to keep white kids away from. That's why they had Pat Boone doing versions of Little Richard songs. Because they didn't want white kids being exposed to black culture. And there was this huge, very literal wall between white music and black music. And whatever you say about Elvis Presley, man, I mean, he obliterated that. I mean, Elvis Presley was like the Pied Piper of, you know, of Nashville and led all of those kids, the Pied Piper of Harlem, you might even say, led all those kids right to black music. For that alone, you got to respect, you know, what this work. I mean,
I'm leaving town, baby. I'm leaving town to show. Well, then you won't be bothered with me hanging around your door.
Great voice.
That's all right.
Great voice this guy was born with.
It's all right.
All right, we'll be back with How Chicks Think. Later on, Clyde Lewis and 1080 Girl Dina. Don't go anywhere.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
Call now to join us. 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
That's right. I remember Korn. That was music. All right, 503-250-1084. We're going to get John. Oh, John's going to tell us about that Billie Holiday thing in a second. Jesse in Northeast, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
What do you got, man?
I got an Operation Canned Heat.
Operation Canned Heat. That's good. You could also, it's like a canned heat can of whoop-ass thing. You could work that out somehow. Yeah.
Most definitely. Hey, and the Beatles have excellent band names, or song names for... You know, Operation Revolver, Operation Happiness is a warm gun.
Operation Revolver. That's good. That's Jesse. Operation Revolution number 9. Eh? Eh? Okay. In Portland, it's a full-time listener. John, what's up?
Hey, Rick.
What do you got?
You said that you didn't know what the Billie Holiday song was all about.
Yeah.
And I only know, I don't know a lot about her, but I just know because I was watching, I think it was maybe on VH1, like, the 100 Most Influential Women of Music, and it actually is about someone being lynched.
Oh, strange fruit hanging from the trees. Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah, and it's really creepy. They showed like a clip of her singing like some club, and just really.
Damn.
Yeah, well, so it's like an early protest song.
Well, go Billie Holiday. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, I've got an operation name. Operation Spooky Tooth.
Operation Spooky Tooth is cool. All right. Operation Burning Down the House. That makes that Billie Holiday song all disturbing now and unnerving. Jesus, well, let's not think about it. All right, here's, welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, yeah, because this song is so much better.
What a girl needs,
it
burns. Whatever makes me happy, sets you free.
cherry or something today. You're like, you're in a bright red. That's the brightest red shirt I've ever seen in my life. That's like full-on suntan
I'm
material.
I'm feeling red today.
You're feeling red? Are you feeling angry?
No, happy.
Okay. All right, I'm just saying. All right. So this is for How Chicks Think, and this is a really simple question. It's just the initial J, so I don't know who that's from. It's the initial J. Please ask Jolie why women have the obsession to change men once they get them. Which reminds me of an old Onion headline. It was like, area woman changes boyfriend into someone she doesn't want. So that's a fair enough question. So when you get a guy, why is it that all guys are like handyman specials? That is like, as soon as you get a guy who you ostensibly are attracted to, because that's why you've got him, you immediately start working him over and refashioning him into, you know, an arbor or something.
An arbor. Well, I really think the idea is that, you know, women are nurturing beings. They want to mold, shape, and help form you.
But we're formed. We're formed when you meet us.
I know you're formed, but we see the potential of such a wonderful human being that we want to help you, you know, become more.
You want to help us be all we can be.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, when you're in a relationship, it's not just the woman that wants, and it's not about changing the person. It's about bringing out the best in each other. So if both parties can bring out the best in each other and make each other feel good and help each other,
I don't know, but I think this is a one-way road.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Help each other reach their goals and dreams, you know, and help them realize that, then it's all the better.
I think you're being disingenuous here, because I don't think you're addressing the type of change we're actually talking about.
It's a lot like the caller. It's a lot like caller earlier. Yeah, more of them, less of you is better in the relationship.
Yeah, I don't think... See, you're talking about changing the guy you're with in the terms of, like, helping him, you know, achieve that long-standing dream of having the largest ball of twine in Saskatoon or something. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about when you get together with a guy, and then suddenly you're changing the way he dresses, you're changing the friends he hangs out with, you're changing why are you still playing video games and bowling with your pals, we should be going to, you know, like flower festivals and dog shows. You know what I'm talking about.
All right.
You know that happens.
Okay, yeah.
So what is that about?
She wants to feel loved. She wants to feel like she's the most important thing in your life and that you're all she thinks about.
Well, what does that have to do with telling us what clothes we can wear and, like, what friends to hang out
with?
Well,
because you do really need help in that area, let me just tell you.
See,
you guys don't care about fashion. Just like the hair thing, remember?
This is what I think men don't understand. What men don't get is, why, if you're all bent on changing us, how is it that you were attracted to us in the first place? Like, it was good enough to attract you to begin with. Why do you got to mess with what's working?
Well, you know how when you first meet somebody, you know, you don't get to know the real... You see all the good stuff.
Yeah.
But then when you get to really know them, then you see some things that might need some changing. But also, the other thing is, to really get down to it, a lot of times when you're looking at somebody else and what you want them to change, they're afraid to be looking at themselves and know that that's what they need to change,
I'm with
too.
You on that. Let's go to the house of Rick and talk to Rob. What's up?
Hey, Rick. So Andrew said the funniest thing the other day. He said, men are like fine wine. We all start out as grapes, and then women stomp on us and smush us, put us in a dark basement until we're actually something they want to have dinner
completely.
With.
Completely. Yeah, keep you in the dark, bottled up.
Exactly. Yeah. Crush your soul and then rebuild you in what they want.
Like we can rebuild him better, faster. I have the willpower. That's Rob. Ken in Portland, you're on Hot Talk 1080 KTK. What's up?
Hey, they try to change us to control us. It's not about nurturing, it's about control.
Well, no.
Well, why do you guys always tell us what's wrong with us all the time? You, like, beat us down, you know, you make us weak. The next thing you know, you got a limp noodle, and we're doing the dishes and all the honeydew lists.
Come on, like you don't beat the women down. Come on.
Oh, personally, I don't. I'm only going to speak for myself, and I'm not going to get general, but what I'm saying is, here's an example. My best friend, you know, he's been going out with a gal for a year and a half. Now she's telling him all this stuff about what's wrong with him. The last time I saw him, he was just a total wimp.
Because she feels not so good.
Here's the difference between men and women, and I think Ken will back me up on this, that women try to change the men they're with. Men try to keep women from changing. You know? It's like you're hot, you're sexy, you're doing all this cool stuff, and we're dating you. We don't want you to change. Don't cut your hair. Don't slack off on the sex. don't you know, men want to keep women exactly the way they were when we met them. You all want to change us into a totally different person than who we were when you met us.
I think guys are basically happy all the time. I mean, most of my friends are, and a lot of the women that I hang out with and talk to, they've always got some sort of gripe about this and that. My relationship's not working out, you know. Come on, lighten up. Let's have some fun.
There you go. There's Ken in Portland. Let's get Randall on a cell phone. Hey, full-time listener. Randall, what do you got?
Feels pretty good.
What do you got, man?
Feels pretty good. Pointing out the shortcomings of others.
Good Clerks reference there.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Well, that's why, you know, like I said, when you're looking at the bad faults of others, like a lot of the women, they're insecure. And they're...
Yeah, but that's, so then just work on it yourself. Don't,
yeah, but
don't
that's
tell
the
us we can't go bowling with our friends. I don't want you playing Xbox with your friends all weekend.
You and I are going
to the craft show.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we didn't go to a craft show when we were dating you. We probably don't want to go when we're married. You know that it's true.
I can't change every woman, Rick.
But not for lack of trying. There's Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Gratifying to point out the shortcomings of others, isn't it, man?
Why, yes,
I'm not rented
yes,
here anymore. You'll be missed. It's old Kevin Schmithinger. We got Chris in a moment, as well as Dave. Dean of the 1080 Girls is going to be here to tell us about meeting Ron Jeremy and Tone Loc in Vegas. News at Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis coming up. We'll play the Radio Gangsta cut from The Low. It's not That Low, it's The Low. What else? Oh, Joe Millionaire discussion. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back. 1-800-727-5955 is Rob Halford.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.